You're listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Austin Price in the studio with you, joined by Bill Clark. By the way, this show is sponsored by Coaching Four Steakhouse, and it's every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill, how are you this week?
I'm doing great. War Eagle, and good morning. Glad to be back. One quick plug again for Coaching Four. Just remember, if you show up at Coaching Four, tell them you heard it here.
Absolutely.
And they have a special. Saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Thanks so much to Coaching Four for sponsoring this program.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for thank you for saying that, because I always sit here, you know, and I've got the sponsor. I've got Coaching Four Steakhouse, but you had a little ride up there, so you're more prepared than I am. Golly, how long have I been working here? All righty. So you said it before we were on air today. A lot to discuss.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to unpack. When we signed off the air last week, it was still under the assumption that Peyton Thorne was the number one quarterback and was going to start. And I even made the comment that I expected him to be on a short leash for the first series. About 1 p.m. on Thursday last week, I get a text from a friend of mine that said, you got to go to this source and see what they're saying. And the inside scoop was, They're gonna start Hank Brown, and of course Friday morning they made the official announcement. Yes, Hank Brown is going to be the starting quarterback. So that kind of changed the outlook for the football game. Opened up a lot more questions too. How much were they going to simplify the offense to make that work? Because he's a redshirt freshman,
right?
Of course Thorne had 4+ years of experience, including his time he spent at Michigan State. So you got a very experienced quarterback, and you got a kid that Coach Freeze, frankly, recruited from the time he was a sophomore in high school. And Hank even was going to go to Liberty, because that's where Coach Freeze was when he started recruiting him. And when Coach Freeze came to Auburn, Hank said, "Well, I'm following the coach. The coach recruited me. I want to play for him. I like what he's offering, and I'm going to go follow him wherever he goes." So he came to Auburn. Lucky for us.
Yeah. That's one of the main takeaways I had from our discussion before we went live this morning. And that is, you talking about this kid, he's a redshirt freshman. And nowadays, that's kind of scary to hear, because it's like, okay, sure, it's all the more time for him to improve and be an even greater star than he is. But it's also all the more time for him to transfer, go somewhere else. But when you told me that he was committed to Liberty and then he went to Auburn solely because the coach did, that tells me he's not here to be the star of the show. He's not here to just follow the money, follow whatever. He's following the coach. He cares about the culture, the identity of Hugh Freeze and the team that he runs. That tells me Hank Brown's going to be here as long as Hugh is. And I don't see Hugh going anywhere right now.
Yeah, unless something really weird happens, I don't see Hank Brown entering the transfer portal or considering any other options, because he wanted to play for Hugh Freeze. He likes the offense. He fits well into the offense. It makes sense to him. It was just really strange how things panned out over the last week. And, of course, he had a marvelous coming out party, even in the rain. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, and we do have, you know, you're going to have doubters that are going to say, look, it was his first game. It was New Mexico. We mentioned New Mexico last week. Their defense struggles. You're giving up over 30 points to Montana State, over 60 to Arizona. Your defense clearly has something wrong. So I get that. But this was a decent offense that they did have to outscore here. And that's the thing. New Mexico outpassed the Tigers, had more passing yards, 448 total yards offensively. So you got to give New Mexico credit there. They put up a good fight. So for Auburn to pull away from them and just dominate their offense like that is truly impressive. I mean, we were talking about some of these numbers here. Very offensively efficient, I would say. On 25 passes, 8 of which were incomplete. So we're talking 17 pass completions here. Hank Brown throws 4 touchdowns, and he averaged just about a first down each pass, 9.4 yards a pass. That's amazing. And then you've got the rushing in, just this Jarquez Hunter you were really proud of in particular.
Oh, yeah. Well, back to the passing thing, one of those incompletions was tipped at the line. 2 of them were dropped in the rain.
Right.
So
they're not on him.
I don't know that you can say it was incomplete because he made a mistake. It was just incomplete because of the circumstances that were there.
Yeah.
Now, Jarquez Hunter, it was almost like a coming out party for him as well. And I was very happy to see that many offensive plays be running plays, intentional running plays. Jarquez Hunter ran, he carried the ball 20 times for 152 yards and one touchdown, 7.6 average. What that did was that made the defense crash in anytime they had the RPO going or play action. So you bring all the middle and interior guys in the defense crashing in on the line of scrimmage, and it just opened up those slants and the passes down the sidelines.
Yeah.
The thing that impressed me the most about the passing part of it with Hank Brown was when he did throw the ball, the only place he threw the ball to was in a place where only the receiver had a chance to catch it.
Right.
And almost every one of them was – where the receiver didn't have to change direction or speed. It was right in the breadbasket, in stride, catch the ball and go. But it's what a blessing to have a Jarquez Hunter be able to open up your running game, which makes the defense adjust and change, and it opened up the opportunities for Hank Brown. It wasn't just Jarquez Hunter, though. We have Damari Austin. He's a junior. He had 10 carries for 80 yards. He had 8 yards per carry and a touchdown. So, I mean, we have two touchdowns that were scored on the ground by running backs, and then we have 4 touchdowns thrown by the redshirt freshman. And I understand it's against a defense that by SEC standards is probably pedestrian. But it was in an inclement weather. It started raining in the second quarter. It rained hard right there toward the end of the game, which also led to a fumble. But I can't put that entirely on Jarquez because the defender stuck his helmet right on the ball, which is what they're taught to do.
And perfect
way to execute a defensive tackle in the rain with somebody running the ball. Put your helmet on the ball, and that's what they did. I think that's the only turnover we had. We had 2 takeaways defensively, so we kind of flip the script from when we played Cal, because we gave the ball up 4 times to no turnovers in our favor. So that trend is trending in the correct direction, but it's going to be fun to watch where this goes. This next game is going to be a tester because it's the SEC opener. Fortunately, it's a home game, and it's at 2:30, which I like because it'll be over before dark, so we don't have to worry about changing in light conditions and whatnot. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You look at this Auburn offense, and I look at it as, you said, inclement weather. That is a factor. And redshirt freshmen. These are the things that we're hearing where it's like, okay, this sounds like the groundwork for an offense to fail, and it did. It did the exact opposite of that. If you got your calculator with you, Jarquez Hunter and Damari Austin, combined for 232 yards, 2 touchdowns. As you said, when you're putting up numbers like that, you are going to get the defense that's already struggling to commit. And then just passing deep like that is incredible. And as you said, some of the incompletions weren't even Brown's fault. And you would expect a younger QB first start in the rain. You don't expect perfection from him, but it sounds like perfection is about what you got.
Considering the conditions and the expectations, that was as close to perfect as I could have ever imagined.
Right.
I mean, because we started the game with a huge question mark, you know, is this the right way to go, and what's it going to look like? And it started off a little slow, but once the floodgates opened and we started running the ball and making the defense change, it became a fun ball game to watch. It was a lot of fun.
And that's especially so when you consider that Brown was probably brought in just as like a, let's just see what he can do. It's New Mexico. We've got room for error. This isn't some game we're going to get killed in if we make one little oopsie poopsie here or there. I think they were like, let's just give him a shot. Let's just see what he's all about. You mentioned that that you heard some chatter about after the loss to Cal. You had – what was it? The 2 quarterbacks, Peyton Thorne and Hank Brown, were asked about plays that went wrong against the Golden Bears. And you said they gave the same answer. And when they practiced them, they played the same. So I think when you see that as well, you're thinking, we can't – we're not going to cost ourselves the game by giving Hank a chance. And let's say he definitely made the most of it. Now, I do want to touch on this, and we'll give score predictions towards the end of the hour because we look at other games there as well. But you mentioned this is the start of SEC play coming up. And after Arkansas, it heats up very fast. Touched on this last week. We've got Oklahoma at Georgia, got a bye week, at Missouri, at Kentucky, which if you ask the Bulldogs, it's a pretty tough place to play. So all things considered, seems like Arkansas in Jordan-Hare is a rather accommodating start to your conference play.
It's about as good a way to start SEC play as you could have scripted it.
As you said, outside of Vandy.
Well, we do play Vandy, but I would prefer to start with Vandy
right.
at home. That's not a knock on Vandy. It's no. It is what it is. But Arkansas is going to put up a fight. They always play hard when they come to Auburn. I've seen them upset us more than once at home. And the line on this game is only 3 points.
Yeah, well, very, very tight game. And that's the thing, when we're splitting hairs on a narrow spread like that, it's essentially a matter of do you have Auburn winning this game or do you not? No one's going to confidently say, I've got Auburn winning, but Arkansas covers the spread. Nobody's going to say that. So if you have Auburn struggling here, you're probably humoring Arkansas's chance to win. It's not that Arkansas can't win. They're a tough team. Their only loss is a quality loss in double overtime at Oklahoma State, who's ranked in the top 15 right now. So there's no shame in Arkansas as a program today, though they kind of struggled with UAB last weekend, whatever the heck that was all about. Going to Auburn, it just seems like that's going to be too much to handle. If you're squeaking past UAB, this new and improved Auburn offense, it has to be too much for you.
Yep. Well, if you've ever been to Auburn to watch a football game, it's the energy level in that stadium is incredible.
Yeah.
Considering they open the ceremonies flying the eagle, which if you've never seen it, you've never been there in person, and make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I don't care what team you're rooting for.
Very patriotic.
It's just so impressive. And that's how we get things started. Now, with this game, and for those who are listening that may be going to the game, pay attention to where your seats are and what sections, because they're going to do a stripe out instead of having a single color.
Yep.
Encouraging everybody in the stadium to wear the same color. It's going to be sections are going to wear different colors to give it a stripe effect. I'm kind of interested to see how that comes out. And that's one of the reasons I like it being a 2:30 game, because that's going to show up great on television.
You're really going to see it. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But that's also going to be a 12th man kind of thing. It's sending a signal to the other team that, hey, this fan base, we're ready to watch a good football game and a good conference game. So it's always fun to go there and watch a game just because of the energy. And
right.
It gets that stadium can get quite loud when we start having a really good ball game. I can remember quite a few where it was as loud as any place I've ever been.
Right. Well, and I think we mentioned this last week that Auburn, especially just being in, you know, SEC company and how some of these teams have seen more success or whatever than Auburn has perhaps recently or historically, Jordan-Hare is very easy to get overlooked. You're right. You've got you got Bryant-Denny Stadium, of course, but you got Death Valley, Tiger Stadium, Neyland Stadium is so huge, and they've got their checkered design in the stands at times, and, you know, that's big for them. Kyle Field's huge in College Station. The Swamp, of course. So when you look at all these, it's very easy to overlook Jordan-Hare. But, yeah, I've never heard anything bad about it. Deafening.
Yeah. Well, don't leave out Mississippi State with those cowbells.
That is literally deafening.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and that is definitely a 12-man effect.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So if Auburn, if, as you said, especially if they try to incorporate a theme with the fans like they're doing this week, they're going to try to really capitalize on these fans, as you said, are here to see a good game. They are here to get in Arkansas's head. I can't imagine Arkansas is ready for that. They haven't shown over these past couple of weeks that they are. So that should be a good look there. I think Auburn can definitely capitalize on that.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you said that. Right? We have our sales rep who works here, one of the several great sales reps, shameless plug there. Howard, he walked in and he asked how you were doing, and you said, a lot to talk about and a lot to look forward to. And that's absolutely the case. I don't think Arkansas is going to make or break you. I think if you were to lose to Arkansas, which I don't think will happen, but if you were to lose to Arkansas, it would raise an eyebrow about what's to come. But if you convincingly outplay this team, no, it doesn't make you a title contender, but it has you looking pretty darn good when you host the Sooners the next week.
Oh, it would definitely make that game a lot more comfortable.
And right now, let me ask you this. This is totally unscripted, off the record, even though we're on air. Tennessee goes to Norman this weekend. Are you wanting Tennessee to beat up on Oklahoma, loosen them up a bit? It may taste like vinegar saying you want Tennessee to beat Oklahoma.
I can get past that taste and say yes. I would like to see Tennessee come away from there with a victory.
I think they could.
Only because would this be in Oklahoma's first year in the conference? It's kind of a statement game.
And Oklahoma's kind of limped to the finish line these past couple games. Tennessee, it's not a matter of how they've played. It's just a matter of whom they've played. That should be a good game. And, of course, we'll touch on those in the latter half of today's show. But speaking of which, today's show is War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Force Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Flu season is approaching, and Jackson Pace Pharmacy is your one-stop shop for acute conditions. With their test and treat program, they are providing same-day diagnostic testing and prescription treatment for strep throat, flu, and COVID-19. No insurance can be used to bill testing procedures, and maximum out-of-pocket cost will be $40. Visit them today at the corner of 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road. No appointment necessary. Walk-ins are welcome from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or visit them online at jackson-pacepharmacy.com.
What makes a winning team for a car dealership? Start with a legacy of over 43 years, providing generations of families with a car buying experience that keeps folks coming back for more, as in Pete Moore. The Pete Moore Automotive Team, with its lineup of new Chevys, Volkswagens, and Mitsubishis, as well as pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for all brands, domestic or imported. This season, win with PeteMoore.com. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. 103 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
You want it? You got it. NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. 18. Sunday, the Houston Texans clash with the Minnesota Vikings at 11 a.m. Then at 7 p.m., the Kansas City Chiefs battle the Atlanta Falcons. Catch every pass, every play right here on ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola. Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night. This is your home for every primetime NFL game. ESPN Pensacola.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Sponsored by the Coach and Forest Steakhouse, and Austin Price in the studio with you, of course, joined by Bill Clark. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about, we were beaming with pride, grinning with glee, talking about Auburn's blowout win over New Mexico, and we mentioned, hey, the opponent's on the weaker side, but the offense looked great. And now we've got Arkansas on the horizon. The calm before the storm of quite a tough SEC slate. Just looking at Auburn right now, what do you think this team should really capitalize on when it comes to facing Arkansas? We know that they're weaker. We know that Arkansas is struggling a bit. But what do you expect to shine the brightest against these Razorbacks this weekend?
Well, I expect to see the ground game continue at least 30 carries or more on the ground. Intentional run plays.
Right.
Make the defense commit to protecting the line of scrimmage and then open up the passing game from there. That's what I expect offensively. I expect more intentional handoffs, you know, out of the pistol formation, bunched formations, and keeping the runs between the tackles. Don't try to do the speed sweeps because – team speed against an SEC defense, it's much different than it was against New Mexico.
For sure,
Arkansas on their worst day has better team speed. So you gotta establish the running game to open up everything else in the offense. I expect pretty much the same thing we saw out of the offense from this last game.
Okay.
If you paid attention to the sets, there was really only about four or five sets that they ran all the plays out of. Now they could, a lot of them were RPOs, so you saw runs out of some of them, and then you saw passes out of the same set, even in the same drive.
Right.
Now defensively, I'm not sure why Auburn, our defensive coordinator, pretty much the whole first quarter in New Mexico, played with three down linemen and three backers, which is why their quarterback, when he was scramble, was able to scramble for first downs because there's only three, maybe four people rushing. They need
backing
to,
off.
They need to go back to what worked in the second half of that game. Four down linemen, cover the ends, keep your speed guys on the ends to close off the end in the sweeps and the wheel routes, and make them do the same thing we're trying to do. Make them commit to stopping people at the line of stopping the offense at the line of scrimmage and make them try to throw it on us. Because I think our defensive backs are much better than theirs. We've got all the defensive backs except for one have really performed at or better than what their expectation was at the beginning of the year. So I think that's going to be the key to this game. I'm not sure what the weather forecast is. If it's good weather, I expect it to be about a 50-50 run to pass on the offense.
Balanced offense.
Yep.
Like what we saw against New Mexico.
Exactly. It was 37 runs and about 42 pass plays, or 42 RPOs.
I think it's supposed to be partly cloudy, 89 degrees.
That's perfect.
That's what ESPN's claiming. I don't know how good. I don't know how many meteorologists are at ESPN. We'll take it
against a team from the West Coast. That would be considered an advantage because they don't play in that kind of heat and humidity.
Right.
But you're talking about Arkansas. They practiced and play in the same conditions.
The same
that we
misery
do.
As everybody
so,
else.
So the weather itself is not going to be an equalizer or a unequalizer.
Right.
Both teams are going to be able to perform equally in the weather because we're both accustomed to it equally. I don't want it to rain because I don't want to see
sloppiness.
Well, I don't want to see it turn into a 9-6 game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I agree with you 100% on the offense. I think it's going to be a balanced 1-2 punch. Exactly what we saw against New Mexico. Maybe not numerically as successful as it was against New Mexico, but I think we should see very dynamic pairing there from the rushing and passing game. Defensively, I really liked what you said about not wanting to back off, right? Wanting to bring some heat because this is a faster team. Yeah, I mean, SEC is obviously bigger, better, faster, stronger than the Mountain West. So to take someone like Arkansas, you don't really want to take your foot off the gas, right? You maybe want to back up a little bit, play it a bit more conservative when you know you got room for error. You don't want to make any careless mistakes. You don't want to overthink your opponent. And you know that New Mexico's got a good passing game. You don't, you know, I understand wanting to back off a little bit and maybe just kind of play it safe. Arkansas, it's not like you should get careless against them either, though. You got to be able to really pressure the Razorbacks because you don't want them, as you said, to be in a tight game with you, whether it be because of inclement weather or anything else.
No, and don't get caught up in the eye candy.
Right.
Because Arkansas does have a lot of motion in their offense.
Definitely better than they look.
You gotta play your position and stick to your position assignments. Don't get caught up trying to chase the rabbit.
Yeah, well, in Arkansas, they're kind of like, if I had to give a comparison for them, they're kind of like the SEC's Nebraska, right? Nebraska always had these headlines where it's like, hey, you know, our record's horrendous, but you know what? We lost several games by one possession. We were in every game. Arkansas was that way last year. They're out here giving Ole Miss, I think it was, a scare, giving Alabama a scare. And as we said earlier in the last segment, gave Oklahoma State a scare. So I agree with you 100%. You can't overlook Arkansas. All righty, let's see. What as far as what else we got here, Oklahoma. Now, we're not, as I said, we're not going to try to look too far ahead to the schedule. We do this weekly for a reason. But I do want to just kind of give a bit of a preview of Oklahoma because that's going to be your biggest opponent faced of the season up to that point by far. Oklahoma hosts Tennessee this weekend. Whether they win, whether they lose, that's going to tire them out a bit, but it's nonetheless going to be tougher than anyone you have faced yet. You think we're going to see a bit of a – it seems like you're pretty confident in Auburn's execution against Arkansas. Do you think it's going to translate to Oklahoma? Because we're making a big leap from New Mexico to Arkansas. It's just as big to go up to the Sooners to take them on, even though you're at home.
Well, I think if they keep it simple for Hank Brown, don't try to give him too many checker pieces to try to put on the board.
Right.
And he can play – three or four different things out of each option. That's what he is. He's an RPO quarterback. So just keep the playbook simple for him. Don't give him too many things to do. Let him exceed and excel at the things that he's good at initially, and then see where that goes. But if they can do that, and like we talked about with the Arkansas game, if we can open up the running game against an Oklahoma defense,
right?
That's gonna pay dividends in the long run. So that's why I expect. I really want to see the three running backs that we have stay healthy.
Yep.
Stay involved, and I want to see them rotate a little bit more. I mean, Jarquez had 20 carries, Austin had 10, and Jeremiah Cobb only had 7, but they all averaged 5 yards or more per carry. Yep. So maybe spread that load around a little bit.
Right.
Don't tire out. Don't put all the rocks in Jarquez's basket.
Rely on your depth.
Absolutely. Cobb play. He returns kicks a lot. So I mean, he's got a lot of athleticism and speed. He's kind of your speed guy. Your two inside pounders are Hunter and Alston, and give them the rock.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah. I mean, don't put all the pressure on them, but give them the rock and make the defense feel pressured. And that we're going to have to do the same thing against Oklahoma. If you cannot be successful in the running game against Oklahoma, they're going to eat you up in the passing game.
Right. And I think the theme here with some of these upcoming opponents, starting with Arkansas, is that you've already mentioned it. You can't sleep on them. You can't overlook them. Arkansas struggled with UAB. It was pathetic, but that doesn't mean you should see him as an easy win. Oklahoma has limped to the finish line against Houston and Tulane now. Doesn't mean you should overlook them. And then, heck, just coming up after that, you got Georgia, Missouri. Well, Georgia just squeaked past Kentucky. Missouri just struggled with Boston College. You've got teams that clearly are not insurmountable. All you have to do is not overlook them. Don't think you got it. Don't get too flashy. Don't let the record go to your head, whatever. Don't let anything like that happen. And I think Auburn really does have a lot of potential to succeed. And I think this is what we've been talking about the players a lot, but Hugh Freeze. I mean, he's seen SEC success. He was He had Ole Miss as a decent team. No, they weren't winning any national titles, but he had them as a good team. So this is not out of character for him to see him really be able to nab what this team needs to succeed.
Well, he lifted that Liberty program tremendously.
Absolutely.
He elevated them to a level of play that they were not accustomed to, but that's recruiting.
Right.
And that's what he's good at.
Well, and he you're right. He played a pivotal role at Liberty because, I mean, heck, dude, it wasn't even 10 years ago that they were an FCS school, right? And then I remember they upset Baylor. Next thing you know, and it was a terrible Baylor team. Next thing you know, Liberty's FBS. They're an independent. They're dominating there. They joined Conference USA last year, and they go unbeaten. They go 12-0, 13-0 before they got trounced in a bowl game, but that's neither here nor there. The thing is, that's how great that program has risen, and Hugh Freeze played a pivotal role in that. So he really is. I know he had a bit of a controversial exit from Ole Miss, but nonetheless, very, very great coach. So you got to give him his props for how he's turned Auburn around here.
Yeah, and I'm not going to bash Brian Harsin. I mean, he just wasn't a coach for the SEC.
It was too big.
It was a bad choice, but Hugh Freeze is a tremendous improvement over that, particularly in the recruiting arena.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, it's one thing to have success at a Group of Five school. If Hugh Freeze came in here having solely success at Liberty, then he'd be more of a wild card. And people would probably hold him to a higher standard because it's like, okay, a lot of people think you've got a job too big for you, like Brian Harsin did. Mm-hmm. But to see the success that he had at Ole Miss, I think Hugh's got it made. And I think last week's win proves that. Alrighty, 10:33 here. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll start looking at some of these other games going around the SEC. We'll even preview Georgia-Bama. Both teams are on a bye, so that's a big deal. Of course, that's going to be not just the game of the SEC, but the game of the year. And Auburn plays both of those opponents, so that's going to be a very interesting game to watch. Either way, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and of course, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust in Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
Four. Elevate your game at Scenic Hills Country Club, where casual southern charm and recreation blend to provide a first-class experience. Discover their championship golf course, restaurant, and bar, all open to the public. Scenic Hills offers an unmatched environment, whether you're a golf enthusiast or seeking an exceptional venue for your next special occasion. Visit scenichills.com to learn more and book your next round. Scenic Hills Country Club, where every moment makes a memory.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints.
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Saturday in college play. UWF takes on West Alabama at 5:45 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
That's right, it's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. And, of course, War Eagle Weekly is brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse. Austin Price here in the studio with you, joined by Bill Clark, as always. All right, Bill. First of all, you had mentioned something. And you said you had a write-up on it, and we lose track of things. Nobody's perfect. But either way, you had a little write-up on Auburn. And we were talking about this during the break. You think that something that could kind of maybe mess with them, at least if not in this game, maybe in one further down the line, is the time of day that they're playing the game, correct?
That is correct. We tend to play better later in the day than we do the 11 a.m. games, conference games.
Right.
Are the ones that always seem to give us the most trouble. The 2:30 to 3:30 games are I love that time slot for our games. And, of course, I like the night games. It's been a while since we played a night game on a Thursday night. That used to be a thing. I don't know if
really?
It still is. They would occasionally have a Thursday night game. And we've done
check
a couple
schedule.
Of Thursday nights. But the midday games are always fun. The only ones we, as an organization here in Pensacola,
as a
our watch party group, the ones we really don't like are the ones where Gary Danielson is calling the game.
Yeah.
We went so far a few years ago to have hats made. They're blue hats with orange letters that just say, "Shut up, Gary."
Right.
Because he always has negative stuff to say about Auburn.
Really?
Of course, we're probably biased. We're probably listening to him talk
sure.
and – because we're Auburn fans, we always take it that way. But, oh, man, it's become a thing. If Gary's calling our game, everybody that comes to our watch parties that has one of those hats is going to wear a Shut Up Gary hat.
Really? Well, that's the thing. I told you, because you had mentioned this during the break, and I was like, man, I've always heard about Gary Danielson. I've never heard anyone say anything nice about him. And that's the thing. Big Ten now on CBS, and one of the biggest takeaways, if you go to any comment section, any forum, whatever – talking about the Big Ten taking the CBS spot, SEC fans always say, well, at least we don't have to listen to Gary Danielson. Have fun with Gary Danielson. I'm getting comments like that. It's like, what? So he always says stuff negative about Auburn. Is he that way with everybody? Is that why everybody hates him?
It's why the Auburn fans don't like him. now, I don't know how the other fans in the SEC think of him, but I think it's fairly universal because, like you say, I've never heard anybody – from another fan base
like
say
him.
Anything about, oh, I wish Gary was calling our game.
All right.
It's fun. It's funny, but,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. It adds a little extra lanyap to the ball game, you know.
Just on the off chance that this ever gets back to Gary, I can just imagine him sitting there thinking,
oh, he's not going to care.
What the heck did I do?
Yeah, he'll probably relish it, so.
Yeah, well, hey, for some people, any attention's good attention.
Well, that's it. Negative attention is better than none.
Right.
So,
Speaking of giving people in some teams, at least, attention that they don't deserve, we have the SEC slate here for this weekend, and we'll run through some of these games real quick, and, of course, we'll mention Auburn, Arkansas in the midst of all this. Starting at 11 a.m., we got Florida at Mississippi State. Now, you even said it may not be the funnest game to watch, may not be the game of the week. But there's a lot riding on this, especially if you're wearing blue and orange.
Absolutely. Well, first off, you're going to have to deal with the crowd and the noise.
Right.
At Starkville.
Mississippi State's going to want to embarrass you.
Oh, yeah. They're looking at this game as an opportunity to make a statement because they know what's going on with the Florida program. And they're like, okay, we have to take advantage of this. And if this turns out poorly for Florida, this is probably going to be Napier's final game with the Gators.
I firmly believe so.
I just can't see him surviving past this game if they lose this game.
I think Florida, as I told you earlier, Bill, they have excuses for both of their losses so far. Miami's really good. Season opening rival. Texas A&M has better talent and a better coach, yada, yada, yada. And they're a winning team today. Mississippi State, coming off of a 5-7 season. Head coach, he's a nobody. I don't even know his name. And they're coming off a 41-17 loss to Toledo. If Florida falls to 1-3, losing to Mississippi State on the same field that Toledo embarrassed them on, I do believe he will be fired effective immediately. We will hear about it Sunday morning, assuming it even makes – assuming it's not leaked before then, we're going to hear that this guy's out the door.
Yeah, you'll probably know whether he's fired or not, by whether or not he gets on the airplane to go home.
Yeah, well, everybody, watch the Gators bus as it leaves Starkville. See if Billy Napier's on it. At 11:45, we've got Ohio-Kentucky. Now, this is interesting. Kentucky just gave Georgia a scare, 13-12. Kentucky's favored by 20. Here's my hot take of the week. Kentucky's not covering that spread. Ohio's a consistently competitive MAC school. Kentucky's riding high after saying, hey, we almost beat Georgia, and that's what the bettors and the experts here believe with this 20-point spread. I don't think Kentucky – they win, but not by that much.
Oh, I agree. Kentucky's best or their strength is their defense.
Right.
I mean, holding Georgia to 13 points over four quarters, but their offense didn't score. It was all field goals for Kentucky. So I see them winning, like you say, but I don't see them covering the spread. They'll win by maybe 13 or 14.
Well, and three games into the season, you mentioned Kentucky being a defensive squad. Three games into the season, Ohio's quarterback has thrown twice as many interceptions as he has touchdowns. So if Kentucky takes advantage of that, we'll see how that turns out. At 2:30, UCLA at LSU. Before you answer, UCLA has struggled with Hawaii and got embarrassed by Indiana in the Rose Bowl last week. They now go to Death Valley to take on the Tigers. What do you think?
Oh, it's just being in Death Valley is all you got to say.
Right.
LSU's going to win that game.
UCLA, I would say, has to be the most disappointing newcomer to the Big Ten right now. And that's saying something. Washington just lost at home, I think, to Washington State. And who is it? Oregon has struggled severely with their weaker opponents. Then, of course, at 2:30, we'll just touch on this, Arkansas at Auburn. You mentioned 2:30 is where Auburn shines. We'll get a score update It's not live. We'll get a score prediction on this at the bottom of the hour, at the end of the hour, I should say. But, yeah, Auburn, just short answer, you got Auburn winning, yes or no?
Yes.
I do, too. I've got Auburn winning, and it's a 3-point spread, and the little preview that we'll give is that we've got Auburn covering that spread. And that doesn't say much because once you get down to field goals, we're splitting hairs here. Vanderbilt at Missouri. All righty. If this were season opener status, this is at 3:15 in the afternoon on Saturday, this would be a big deal. Vanderbilt just beat Va Tech, right? However, since then, Vanderbilt has reminded us, we're still the Commodores, and just lost to Georgia State last week. They now go to Mizzou. Mizzou struggled with Boston College, and I think Missouri is out to prove that that was a fluke and that they're not going to sleep on anyone again. You got Missouri winning this game?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a ranked Missouri.
This is not your top seven Missouri.
This is not your average everyday Missouri team. This is the real deal. They played Auburn several years ago in the SEC championship game when they had team that was very much like what they have now.
Right.
They're able to score a lot of points, and they're able to shut down an offense. Their defensive backfield is knocking balls out of the air left and right. Mm-hmm. And they're making tackles. Their fundamentals are good. I haven't seen that much of them, but every time I watched them, I noticed
– You liked what you saw.
I noticed that on the defense, they weren't – people weren't getting yards after contact. And that's a huge deal on a defense.
Yeah, for sure. Mizzou's favored by 20. What the heck? I'll say they cover.
I do, too.
Okay, this is probably the biggest game as far as national implications. Number 6 Tennessee goes to number 15 Oklahoma. Tennessee has not been tested. Oklahoma's been tested, but they shouldn't have been. Tennessee on the road. What do you got happening here? Tennessee, by the way, favored by 7.
I think Tennessee covers.
I think they do, too. I think this is a statement win for Tennessee. I think Oklahoma gets in over their heads. I'll go ahead and give my score prediction for this one. I got Tennessee 41-24. I say they win by 3 possessions.
I'm not going to go by 3. I would say Tennessee probably outscores them by 14.
All right.
I don't know what the end score is going to be. It could be 14-0, but it could be 34-20.
Right.
It depends on how the defenses play.
No, I think Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee's a contender. I'm going to go ahead and say that now. I'm sure the Tiger fan base has no problem with me saying that. But they're obviously a darn good team. And Oklahoma just hasn't, at least Tennessee hasn't struggled. Oklahoma has the past couple weeks. Bowling Green goes to Texas A&M. Bowling Green, man, they almost beat Penn State. They won 8 games last year, I believe. Texas A&M, they're back in the rankings. Whee, riding high after beating the Gators. You think Bowling Green kind of scares them here?
I think they give them a run for their money.
Really?
Yeah. I look at this as being probably less than 6-point differential.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
So you got to come down to the wire like that. Well,
a single possession game, probably all the way to the end of the fourth quarter, the game's going to be in doubt.
Okay, well, then that means you disagree with Texas A&M minus 23.
Oh, yes.
Moving on here, that game's at 6:30, by the way. Akron and South Carolina at the same time. Akron typically sucks even at the MAC level, but South Carolina, quarterback took a licking against LSU. They're coming off a heartbreaking home loss, and they struggled with Old Dominion, so losing to a Group of 5 school isn't out of the equation. You think Akron covers the 28-point spread here?
They may cover, but they're definitely not going to beat South Carolina.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think they're good enough. And then we've got Georgia Southern at Ole Miss. Okay, who you got? Ole Miss?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. That's probably the biggest spread of this weekend. Ole Miss favored by 35. That's at 6:45.
And they cover.
Yes. I think they very well could. My bad. I forgot about this dog match of a game. This is the biggest spread. Number 1 Texas at 7 p.m. hosts UL Monroe. Just to put into perspective for you, Bill, this game is televised on ESPN Plus and SEC Network Plus. The number 1 team in America is not even televised. Texas is favored by 44.5. You think they cover?
Oh, yes.
All righty. Obviously, we've got very big games here. We do have a few that we'll cover just in our final segment, just national games, and then we'll give our score prediction on Auburn, Arkansas. But until then, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated 3-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Bet live with Hard Rock Bet. Real-time wagering till the very last play. Missing the kickoff doesn't mean all bets are off.
Delay a game on the guy who hasn't bet yet.
Sometimes you just know your team is going to come back. The sportsbook for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them, Dave Ramsey said, hey.
Hey, I'm Ken, and being a big brother is one of the best plays I've ever made.
I get to hang out with my little brother, whether we're playing ball, grabbing a bite, or we're just having a blast. But the real win, I'm making a difference in his life. Right now, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northwest Florida needs more guys to step up. Over 150 boys in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are waiting for a big brother. So what are you waiting for? Visit BeTheBig.org or call 433-KIDS. Let's make a difference together.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Hey, sports fans, stay up to date with the latest news and scores right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And if there's a hurricane headed our way, don't worry. We've got you covered there, too, on our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620. We'll be here to keep you informed with the latest news and updates. We'll also have live coverage of evacuations and other important information. So, for hurricane coverage, tune in to News Radio Pensacola. For sports, you're in the right place. ESPN Pensacola.
Hey there, Pensacola sports fans. Are you tired of boring radio shows that put you to sleep faster than a lullaby? Well, we've got the cure for your sports talk blues. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM, where the excitement never stops. From Canty Cohen and Smallman in the morning to Amber and Fitz in the evening, we'll keep you entertained while keeping you up to date on all the sports action. So grab your popcorn, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride of laughter and sports knowledge.
ESPN Pensacola
on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Sunday, an NFL play. The Houston Texans clash with the Minnesota Vikings at 11 a.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. And, of course, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. All right, Bill, we were talking about some of the biggest SEC games of the weekend. Well, all of them through thick and thin. We were talking about anywhere from Tennessee, Oklahoma, all the way down to Texas, ULM. But now just some of the finishing touches here on this week of War Eagle Weekly. We got some of the bigger games nationally on Friday, getting underway tomorrow. Number 24, Illinois, travels to Lincoln, Nebraska. Both of these teams are overrated. Who do you have winning?
I have Illinois winning.
Really? You got Illinois stunning the Huskers in Lincoln?
Yep.
Wow, I wasn't going to take that. I will say Nebraska, there are some games that when a team wins them, you can tell the voters just really desperately want it to mean something.
Yeah, it's a legacy.
Right,
yeah.
And that's the thing. You got Florida State when Georgia Tech beat them. All Georgia Tech had to do after that was have a forgettable game against Georgia State, and all of a sudden you're ranked. After Boston College beat Florida State, all you had to do was crush Duquesne, and all of a sudden you're ranked. It's like they wanted Florida State beating FSU to mean something. NIU's ranked because they beat Notre Dame. You want beating Notre Dame to mean something. I think beating Colorado, Nebraska beat up on them, and it was a huge win in Lincoln, big rivalry win, and people want it to mean something. Voters want it to mean something. It probably doesn't. I've got Nebraska winning, but I've got them winning close by 30-27 over the Illini.
Single possession game.
Yeah. Number 11, USC, travels to number 18, Michigan. Now, USC, they're not great. I think they're a good team. Their biggest win's over LSU, which is good, not terrific. They go to Michigan. Michigan, definitely not what we saw last year. Getting beat up in Ann Arbor by Texas. Struggling to beat Arkansas State. Won by 10, I think it was last week. But it's in the Big House and their new conference opponents. What do you got?
I've got Michigan winning. I've got them making the adjustments.
Really?
Well, it's a home game, so you got your home crowd. You don't want to disappoint them.
Right.
I think they're going to back up just a little bit and simplify what they do offensively and defensively so that they can stay grounded in the fundamentals and execute fundamentally,
right,
instead of trying to wow everybody because, hey, we won the national championship last year. We're, right. You know, you got to back away from that because it's not the same team.
I could see USC overlooking them a bit, especially with these past couple weeks and how it's treated the Wolverines. I've got USC struggling, especially on the road, but I'll give them 32-24, somewhere in that ballpark. Number 12, Utah, goes to number 14, Oklahoma State. A lot of people say Utah's a favorite in the Big 12 to win it. Oklahoma State struggled with Arkansas, but it's a tough place to play. And nonetheless, a top 15 matchup. Who do you got?
Home game, Oklahoma State.
Really? Man.
Yeah, I'm liking the home team.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill and I are about to just start bare-knuckle fighting here in the studio. He has not agreed with a single thing I've said. I got Utah winning that game once again close because I think Utah, dare I say, I like Utah, followed them for years, but I think they're a little bit overrated. And they're going to go to Oklahoma State. They're going to struggle. Boone Pickens Stadium is a tough place to play in, but I'll take the Utes. All right. These are just some upset alerts here. Georgia Tech goes to number 19, Louisville. Louisville is one of two teams from the ACC ranked in the top 20. They have beaten Austin Peay and Jacksonville State. Georgia Tech goes to Louisville trying to make up from a loss to Syracuse. Do you think Georgia Tech upsets them there?
I think Georgia Tech's going to win.
Really?
They're going to do the same thing they did against Florida State.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely an upset alert there.
Yep.
And then number 13, Kansas State goes to BYU. It's a late night kick. Provo's tough. We talked about this earlier. Those Mormons can party up in Provo, and K-State's riding high after a ranked win that probably didn't mean that much over Arizona. Do you have BYU scaring them, beating them? What's up?
Nope. Kansas State.
Well, you got Kansas State surviving, huh? I don't know. I'm not committed to either Louisville or K-State losing, but at the very least, I think they struggle. So if you want to take K-State, I can get in your corner on that, but BYU will give them a scare for sure. All righty, here we are. Final stretch, my man. Arkansas, Auburn. We have Auburn covering the spread. That's not saying much because it's a field goal game. What's the score? Ballpark it for me.
All right, it's Auburn's a 3-point favorite. The over and under we checked right before going on the air was 56.5.
Yep.
I have Auburn winning 28-17.
Really? Yeah, you told me before we went live that you had it being on a bit of the lower end of scoring. I don't have – let me think because I don't want to reveal my score yet. I've got it being – I've got them scoring the over. I've got it being 64 total points, I believe. I've got Auburn, their offense coming out to play at home. Arkansas is good, far from great. I have Auburn trying to send a message before they get into the beef of their SEC play. I've got them winning 38-26. So
I like that pick as well.
Double-digit spreads.
Don't forget to go to Coaching 4 and just tell them you heard it right here on War Eagle Weekly.
Absolutely. War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Austin Price and Bill Clark with you right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. See you next week.